Turn, please, in your Bibles this morning to Joshua chapter 14 and Joshua chapter 15. And I remind you of what we read there in chapter 15 and verse 13 and following. And unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, and Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. Last week we began to challenge ourselves from the life of Caleb. And we looked at what is recorded in Numbers chapter 13 and chapter 14 and saw how Caleb was in that day in Kadesh Barnea a man of faith who stood out. He was one of the 12 spies chosen to go forth and report on the land of promise. And he came back with a good report in opposition to those who brought back an evil report. He believed that God was able to bring them in and give them to the land that he said he would give them. But a catastrophe took place at Kadesh Barnea because the people did not listen to the voice of faith, but rather listened to the voice of unbelief. And as a result, they consigned themselves to wander in the wilderness for 40 years so that a generation would die in the desert. Well, the rest of the book of Numbers tells us that story. And in it, from time to time, Caleb and Joshua appear, especially toward the end of the book, as God reminds us time and again that these two men were the sole survivors of the wilderness wandering. The story continues in the book of Joshua. And here in chapter 14 and 15, Caleb stands out again as he claims the promised inheritance that was to be given to him. And he goes forth upon that promise to conquer the region that would be known as Hebron, a region that was before known as Kirjath Arba. And in the book of Joshua, just like in the book of Numbers, Caleb stands as an example of faith. Indeed, if you read the passage as we have read it this morning, it should be obvious to you that God has given us this account in order to challenge us to faith. But when you step back further and understand what the writer of this book of Joshua is doing in chapter 14 through chapter 19, it becomes even more apparent. Israel are having the land divided up between the various tribes. And in chapter 14, we begin with Caleb, one of the good spies from Numbers chapter 14. And when we come to chapter 19, the end of the portion, we have Joshua, the other of the faithful spies from 40 years previous. Yet in the middle of this section, we have the sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. And they're given their apportionment, but they hesitate in unbelief. They don't go up to take all of the possession. And there are going to be serious consequences because of their unbelief. So in the middle we have this hesitant response of unbelief. But at the beginning we have the ideal response of faith that Israel were to look at and emulate. Now imagine you were an Israelite to whom this book was first written. Probably in the period of the Judges. And you look all around you at the chaos and you come to chapter 14 and chapter 15 and you see this shining example of faith. What was it designed to do? But to kindle the same courageous faith in the heart of the struggling covenant people of God. And as it was for them, so it is for us today. In chapter 14 and chapter 15 of Joshua then, we see that Caleb, the man who stood out in chapter 14 of Numbers, is the man who stayed strong. 45 years later, he's the same man with the same faith in the same God. So our theme this morning then is Caleb, the man who stayed strong. And three things come to us for consideration. The first is commitment. The second is courage. And the third is continuing. Commitment, courage, and continuing. Thinking then, first of all, about commitment, as I said a moment ago to you, 45 years have passed since what we looked at last week. And this 85-year-old senior citizen of Israel comes forth to his old friend Joshua in chapter 14, verse 6 through 8. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. He's now 85. Apart from Joshua, the next oldest person in Israel is at least 20 years younger than him. And this senior citizen comes forth to his old friend and he says, Joshua, you know what happened then. Joshua, you remember what God said then. Verse 12. Now give me the mountain that the Lord spoke of. Throughout this portion, there's a repeated phrase that we have used in reference to Caleb. And if you know anything about Caleb, you know this phrase is in Scripture synonymous with him. We're told on three occasions of his commitment in these terms that he wholly followed the Lord his God. You see it in verse 8 at the end, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. You see it again in verse 9, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. You find it later on in verse 14. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. But it's not just found here. You find it in Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 36. You find it in Numbers chapter 32. And it's very similar to what we looked at last time in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24 when Caleb said, I followed the Lord my God fully. Now you bring them all together and you notice this. Caleb says this of himself in verse 8. I wonder, could you say this of yourself? Caleb comes to Joshua and he says, But I wholly followed the Lord my God. This was the determination of Caleb's life. He was conscious of it. It was something that he strove for. Now, in the future, present, and then, I'm going to determinedly follow the Lord my God. But then Joshua says it of Caleb. And in Deuteronomy and in Numbers, Moses says it of Caleb. So not only do we have Caleb's perspective revealing to us his determination, but we have the perspective of others as they observe this man, now in context of his testimony and his example. And their conclusion, when they look at Caleb, was yes, here is a man who is committed. Here is a man who wholly follows the Lord his God. But what's even more important is that God says this about Caleb. You see, we can flatter ourselves. We can fool others. But the Lord agrees with what Caleb says and what Joshua and Moses say about Caleb. And here we have the delight of God in the commitment of his servant. So much so that it's linked with his obtaining the inheritance. Verse 14, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. He's going to have the opportunity to fight for the land, and he will possess the inheritance that was promised to him. Can we say it of ourselves? Would others observing our life be able to say, there is a man who wholly followed the Lord? Beyond that, what would God say of your Christian life? Are you committed? It's an interesting phrase. It comes in the PL tense in the Hebrew, which is a very intensive form of the verb. And the verb simply means to be full. I intensely and fully did something. What did you do? I followed, or I came after the Lord. Well, do you get the picture? Intensely, fully following. Caleb was the man who followed the Lord when nobody else would follow the Lord. A man who walked with his God throughout the whole of his life. He's clearly somebody who was walking with God before he went up to espy the land. And so he sees things in a completely different way when he goes up to spy out that land. And he comes back and he's walking with the Lord as he's challenging the people. And then the people disobey God in unbelief. And for 40 years in the wilderness, the same man is walking with his God. Not only is he walking with him, he's walking after him. He's following in the steps of his God. In this then, he is a pattern of discipleship. You look at the life of Caleb and you see a man who followed God in a life of principled obedience. And I can say to you, therefore, this morning that you and I ought to follow Caleb in as much as he followed the Lord. Because he is an example of holy Christian living. Sometimes we struggle with that. We complicate it. We're disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, what is a disciple? What is a Christian? What does a holy life look like? Well, the best answer I suppose we could give you is study the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is the role model par excellence. You want to see what godliness and faithfulness looks like? Look at Jesus. But the Bible gives us a host of other examples of godliness. And when we read these portions of Scripture, they really are saying to us, be like these people insofar as these people are like the Lord Jesus Christ. And Caleb is one of them. He's committed to God. And you say, well, what's the secret of this? Three times he wholly follows the Lord his God. It's a life of principled obedience. But I think we get to the secret of Caleb's commitment when we recognize that five times in this portion, he keeps going back to the Word of God. I wholly followed the Lord my God, he says. But what else? Verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said to him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God. This is at the root now of his appeal to Joshua. You know what God said all those years ago. And he continues it through the passage five times. So that when we come to verse 12, when he makes this appeal, now therefore give me this mountain, he immediately says, whereof the Lord spake in that day. He can't get away from it. The end of that verse, if so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. As the Lord said. You see, Caleb's request is not any selfish act. He's not just saying, I waited so long for this portion of ground and I should have had it. This is an act of faith, rooted in the promise of God and seeking the glory of God. Caleb wholly followed the Lord his God insofar as he believed everything that the Lord his God said to him. And so his life and his faith is anchored in the promise of God. And he waits upon that promise, and he pleads that promise before God, and he acts upon that promise. Sometimes we talk about faith as some kind of ephemeral thing that's out there somewhere. I have faith. I'm a person of faith. That person is a person of faith. Well, what is this faith? It's a faith that's rooted in the Word of God and that is courageous and bold enough to believe and do everything that God says. In other words, faith is not all talk and no action. It's a very practical thing. Furthermore, the man who has faith is not concerned about faith separated from everything else. Sometimes we're like that as Christians. It's evidence of our unbelief, when the only thing we're looking at is faith and the strength of our faith, so that we don't act because we feel that our faith isn't big enough. The greatness of God and the truth of his word is the issue of faith. And you see that in Caleb. Doesn't say anything about the greatness of his faith, but everything he says and all that he does tells us about the greatness of his God, so that his Christian commitment is focused upon God and not self and not others and not our strength, but God's strength. The secret then to our Christian commitment ought to be that we focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We trust in him and we obey his word. It's not a mystery, brethren. Christian commitment is not a mystery. It's not some secret higher life. It's found in the basic nuts and bolts of Caleb's testimony. I wholly followed the Lord my God, trusting in everything that God said about me. Do we have this commitment? Secondly, we've got courage. Courage. Now, history tells us many stories about courage. And we men in particular, we like them. It's one of the few things that perhaps is able to make a man cry. Valor, courage. Remember sitting with the boys when they were younger and teaching them Tennyson's famous poem, The Charge of the Light Brigade. And you're drawn in with a sense of heroism. Half a league, half a league, half a league onward. Into the valley of death, rode the 600. Forward the Light Brigade. Charge for the guns, they said. Into the valley of death, rode the 600. That appeals to people. Courage challenges us. Well, Bible history too emphasizes courage and heroism. Who among the children doesn't know the story of David and Goliath, our youngest son? If he knows anything in the Bible, it's that. Any passage he wants to read in the Bible, I want to read about David and Goliath. Any book he wants to pull from the shelf, I want to read about David and Goliath. Why? Because courage challenges us. And who isn't moved when they read that great hall of fame there of David's mighty men? Men like Eleazar, men like Shammah, men like Benaiah. But Caleb stands in rank with these men. he stands in rank. He takes us back 40 years earlier and he says, "Then I went into the land and I spied it out. And I came back and my heart sank when the others made the people's heart melt for fear. And I pleaded with them in that day, 'No! Don't do this thing.' With Joshua, I ripped my clothes in protest. I said, 'No, the Lord is able to take us up.' And 45 years have now passed. And Caleb comes forth in courage and he says, 'Give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake.'" Well, what's so notable about Caleb's courage here? Well, didn't we say last time that in Numbers chapter 14 there's that focus upon this region of Kirjath Arba where the Anakims were? The sons of Anak, Sheshai and Ahiman and Talmai, and they were giants. Oh, the spies went up and they said, "This land is wonderful, it's just as God said." But then they got up to Kirjath Arba and they saw the walled cities and they saw the giants and they said, "It's a pity this land's so good and we can never have it." In everything that they went to spy out, Kirjath Arba was the citadel that made them quake to their boots. And Caleb comes forward and he says, "That's the bit for me. Give me this mountain. Give me the most difficult part of Canaan. Let me loose to face these giants." If the Lord's with me, I'll take it. You see, Caleb is saying the same now as he said then. He's still speaking the language of courageous faith, but you know that talk is cheap. Suppose he comes back and he gauges the attitude among the other tribes and or other spies, and he wants to make himself look good. And they're all saying, "Too bad, the people are too big." And he says, "No, they're not. Let's go, we'll take them." But he didn't really mean it. You know, sometimes people do that. They want to look big in front of other people. "Let's go and do this," they say among their friends. Not expecting their friends to say, "Okay, let's go and do it." And their friends say, "Well, let's go and do it." And they're not so enthusiastic now. You see, Caleb wasn't doing that back in Numbers chapter 14. He's not an armchair Christian. He's not an armchair critic. Sometimes we can be like that with people, and they complain about everything and they know everything that's wrong in the church and they want everything done to fix it. We need to do A, B, C, D. And very often they're the very people who go missing when the things are going to get done. Was Caleb an armchair critic? Was Caleb an armchair Christian? I want you to see him, children. There's nobody in this congregation this morning as old as him. 85 years old. Straps on his sword. Walks up to Joshua. And he says, "Let me at those Anakims." "Give me the mountain whereof the Lord spake." That's before it's been conquered. And in the next chapter, we're told, "And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, the very tribes that made Israel quake to their boots." Julius Caesar said, "I came, I saw, I conquered." But Caleb said something even greater than that. "I came, I saw. I had to wait 45 years. And still, I conquered." Give me the most difficult place of Canaan. And if the Lord my God is with me, these giants will fall. You see, courageous faith asks big things from God. And courageous faith expects big things from God. And courageous faith attempts big things from God. It's not overwhelmed by odds. It doesn't say, well, we'll never do it. It's not oppressed to the point of inertia by difficulties. We have a wonderful Caleb-like figure in the history of our own nation. And he came with the same petition to God as Caleb came to with Joshua. Caleb says, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake. And John Knox came before the Lord. And he says, give me Scotland. Give me Scotland. Or I die. Courageous faith. Can I ask you this morning, what is your response when you face giants? What are the giants in your life? And what is your response when you face them? Caleb tells us, go forward and fight. Well, do you find any of this courageous faith in your heart as a Christian? Because the Lord knows that the church needs it. The Church of Jesus Christ has in our day surrendered great swathes of the culture due to fear. Our academic institutions have been surrendered to humanism. The scientific laboratory frightens Christians out of it. We see these giants of humanism and we say, no, we can't contend against them. And we retreat into our evangelical comfort zones. Caleb says to us this morning, stand up and fight. Stand up and fight. But what about the giants of your personal life? Some challenge comes up, some difficulty, some ongoing trial. And do you stop and surrender before them? Do you cower your spiritual knees knocking, saying, oh, it would be so good if I could do this, if I could conquer this, but the giant is simply too big. There's no point. Caleb says, go forward. Go forward. Could it be that we've lost the vision and confidence in Christ's lordship? That we've lost the vision of his kingship over all things? The one who says to his church, go, teach all things to all nations, and I am with you. Do you know something? Caleb would actually have believed that. Lo, I am with you. That's the kind of thing Caleb would have latched on to. Not the difficulties. Not the opposition and the giants. Could it be that the church in the United Kingdom in our day is simply happy to defend a few little liberties? Now ask yourself that question. You know, we've got the Christian Institute and these kind of things, and they're doing a good work insofar as it goes. But it seems like we're happy to defend these little liberties because these little liberties allow us to continue in our own comfort, don't they? But what are we actually doing in terms of positively confronting these giants? You say we're weak. You say individually, I'm weak. God says, that's good. It's perfectly okay. I'm omnipotent. And my weapons, they're not carnal. They're spiritual. And if you use them, you will discover them to be mighty through God to the tearing down of strongholds. This is the courage and the commitment that Caleb calls us to. But then we have continuing. Continuing. He's committed and he's courageous when he's young and when he's old. And he refers to this himself in verse 10 and verse 11. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. He says, God has kept me. And because God has kept me, I have stayed strong. And am still strong and ready to fight. I went into the land. I walked in the wilderness. And oh, how I have waited for this day. Joshua, loose me. And let me go. Loose me. And let me go. What an example of continuance. What can we learn from it this morning? Well, first of all, we can say he continued through discouragement. He continued through discouragement. I want to take you back to Kadesh. They come back from the land. His heart is buoyed up with the things that he's seen. His hope is in the promise of God. And the 10 spies give their evil report. He's astounded. He rips his clothes in protest. He says, please don't do this. And they did it. And he wandered with these people for 40 years. And he watched them die. He went through the subsequent episodes of unbelief. The serpents going through the camp. The plague that killed thousands. Balaam and his seeking to destroy Israel by various methods. He watched his friends die. He watched his family die. He watched the man that he was a fellow slave with in Egypt, who he walked through the midst of the Red Sea with, he watched him die. And he watched Moses and Aaron die. He could sympathize with Moses in Psalm 90, that psalm we sang this morning. As Moses said, these people seem to be carried away in a flood of death. I wonder how you would have coped in that. Think about the little discouragements that stop you and throw you off course. And here's a man who saw Israel throw their inheritance into the waste bin and perish in the wilderness for 40 years. And yet he says, I'm as strong now as I was then. Give me this mountain. I thought about that 40-year period. And it seems to me that it does equate in some ways to the last 40 years or so of the church in our country. one of the ministers in our presbytery, is due to celebrate 40 years in the ministry this year. And I think back at when he started and compare that with now. And he had a large congregation full of families, young people. And for 40 years, he's watched that get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. He's walked through church difficulties and splits. And now, has a congregation of mainly old people in Glasgow. Yet he's one of the most zealous Christian ministers I've ever met. He's still preaching the same thing as he preached then. He's still saying it the same way. He's still preaching it with the same passion. He's still determined to get out on the streets and seek to win people to Christ. He's a bit like Caleb. He's not quite as old as Caleb. But he's a bit like Caleb, continuing through discouragement. But then he also continued through delay. 40 years, 45 years of delay, because there are 5 years here where they're fighting for the land as well as the 40 that they were wandering through the wilderness. 45 years of delay. Well, how do you cope? How do you cope with delay? You get frustrated. You lose focus. You throw your hands up. You pray for something. You seek something from the Lord. He doesn't give it to you immediately. Or he says you need to wait months. You need to wait a few years. And the temptation in our heart is, well, I'm just going to give up and forget about it. But delay did not dull the faith of Caleb. Discouragement did not abate his zeal. He stayed strong. And what's more important, he stayed ready so that when the opportunity came, he grasped it in faith with both hands. And he says, I'm as strong now as I was then. Let me go. Let me go. He stayed strong through discouragement. He stayed strong through delay. And he stayed strong into old age. He stayed strong into old age. Now, I'm not saying to you that you should be as physically strong at 85 to go and fight giants, literal giants, as you would have been at age 40. No, the back's maybe not as strong as it was. The arms are a little bit weaker. Everything's somewhat slower. We have a particular instance here that I'm not saying should be replicated in our life. But Christians get old physically. But Christians don't get old spiritually. They don't get old spiritually. Well, that's a challenge to us, isn't it? Because sometimes we see Christians and they start with great zeal. A young person is converted to faith in Christ, and it's a beautiful thing. It stirs everybody else's hearts. We love to see it. But how many Christians are like the child's toy you buy? And the child begins to play with it, and it's all noise and action. And the more the child plays with the toys, the actions begin to get slower, and the voice begins to become garbled. The batteries are running out. Christians like that, far too many Christians like that. They start with a blaze of glory, but they don't go to Christ day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year for the renewal of their strength. They become cynical, they stop working, they down their tools, they think old age as a Christian is heaven. But it's not. We're still in the church militant, and the Lord does not excuse any of us from our spiritual battles. But what a joy to meet an old Christian like Caleb. Vigorous in zeal, warm in heart. It's an absolute tonic to your soul. I'm glad that in my Christian life, I've met many of them. And they leave an indelible mark upon you. I remember old saints on the Isle of Skye. And they were consumed with love for Christ. The kingdom of God was first in their mind. They couldn't do much physically. They didn't have much materially. But oh, how they gave financially and encouragement to the work of the gospel was everything to them. I remember going one night to preach in Portree. I preached in the morning. There were quite a few people out. Preached in the evening. The rain had started to come and the wind had picked up. It wasn't a particularly nice night. And the congregation was decimated. It was less than half of what it had been in the morning. But you know who wasn't there? The young people and the middle-aged. These old saints were coming. They'd waited for a lift in the minibus. They're walking in on sticks. Why? Because they were like Caleb. They stayed strong. Oh, their outward man was perishing day by day, but their inward man was being renewed. And in old age, when others failed, they were still bringing forth fruit unto God. They were like the palm tree flourishing. What a joy. What a joy to see that. Well, do you see it in Caleb, children? Out he comes, 85 years of age. I'm still strong. I've stayed strong. God has kept me. Now give me this mountain of which the Lord spake. May God enable us, by the same grace he gave to him, to finish the course and to keep the faith.